Good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're with us for Live with Lon. And we want to begin this morning by taking a moment to quiet our hearts before the Lord and make sure we're ready to meet with Him. Just before we do that, let me remind you that we have moved our October Israel trip to departing on April 26, 2021. And if you're interested, go check it out on our website, lonsolomonministries.com. We have room for a few more people because all of the people registered for our October trip transferred over, and that was like almost 80 people. So we have room for a few more. Check it out and call us if you have any questions. Okay, let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's take a moment and take our troubles and our difficulties, our struggles, and let's turn loose of them and give them to the Lord, lay them at the foot of the cross right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for the words of the Bible. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you rest, because my burden is light, you said. And Lord, your yoke is easy. And so, Father, remind us that things that are way too heavy for us to be able to carry, you can carry them easily, because your yoke is light and your burden is light. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would give you those burdens each and every day, and that you would replace them with the sweet peace of God. Now, Lord, do that for us right now, and open our hearts to hear the word of God, and to be encouraged by the word of God. And Father, we do pray lastly against this virus. We ask for mercy for our families, that you would protect us from this virus. And then mercy for the human race, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. Help us find some kind of vaccine or treatment that will work against this virus and allow us to return to normal living, Father. We beseech you for this, and we commit our time in the Word of God now to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, you know, it's obvious to me and probably to you that in order to live, we need hope. Hope is a very important component of human life. Psychiatrists will tell us that. And people who lose hope, their life unravels in all kinds of bad ways. And so today I want to talk to you from the Word of God, from a wonderful passage in the Word of God that brings enormous hope to your life and my life. And so I want you to come along as God intends to use His Word today to restore hope to us and to fortify our souls with hope that we can hang on to every day for the rest of our life until we go to be with the Lord Jesus. All right. We're going through the Gospels, as you know, and we're doing a deep exegetical, expository study of the Gospels, and we are in Luke chapter 7, and of course I'm using the New King James Bible, transversion of the Bible, and so look with me in your Bible, and let's pick up in Luke chapter 7, in verse 18. Okay. Jesus has raised the widow of Nain's son in this chapter and healed a centurion's servant. And now we come to verse 18. And the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus saying, "Are you the coming one," in capitals, "the Messiah, or do we look for another?" Now, folks, of all people, John the Baptist should be the last person asking this question. John the Baptist was the forerunner who announced Jesus. Let me take you back, if I may, to the Gospel of John, and let me remind you what happened there. John 1:29. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," pointing at Jesus, "who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" Now, verse 32 of John 1. "And look, John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he," the Spirit, "remained upon him," Jesus. "I did not know him," Jesus, "but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" This is the Messiah. "And I," John says, "have seen that happen, and I testified that this is the Son of God." So, John the Baptist announced Jesus, introduced Jesus to the world, proclaimed him to be the Messiah. What in the world is he doing sending and asking Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah, or is there somebody else coming?" Well, the answer to this is very simple. It lies in the fact that John sent two disciples to ask this question, two of his disciples. Yeah, why didn't John come himself and to Jesus personally and ask this question? Well, the answer is very simple. John can't, couldn't go to Jesus personally because he's in jail. Herod, King Herod, has put him in jail for telling Herod it was wrong to have married his brother's wife. And he is incarcerated. He can't get out and come to see Jesus. And this is the problem. When Jesus came and John introduced him, John had all kinds of expectations about what Jesus was going to do and how he was going to do it. He was going to lift up the nation of Israel. He was going to run the Romans out of Israel. He was going to bring wicked King Herod down. He was going to bring righteousness to earth. He was going to rally the nation of Israel around him as their Messiah. These are all the expectations of John, and they're biblical expectations, but John made a mistake. Most of these expectations, in fact, all of them, belong to the second coming of Christ. And at the time of Jesus, the Jews had a very difficult time trying to understand what the Bible said about the two comings of Christ. John's expectations are about Jesus coming as the conquering king, but that's the second coming. And so, Jesus, this is his first coming. He's not going to do all this right now. And so here's John in jail, soon to have his head cut off. The Romans are still in charge of the country. Herod, King Herod, wicked King Herod is still ruling and going to give the order to cut John's head off. The Jewish people are rejecting Jesus as their Messiah and plotting to kill him. And so this threw John for a loop. This shook John's faith. This caused John to have second thoughts. And so he sends to Jesus and says, "Did I get it wrong? Are you really the Messiah?" And so I want you to see what Jesus does. Look, let's go on in the chapter. "And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, the Messiah, or do we look for another?' And in that same hour, he," Jesus, "cured many people of their infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many who were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go your way and tell John the things that you've just seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" All right. Now, how does this answer John's question? all these miracles Jesus is working. Well, friends, in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 35, let me put that up and let me show you this prediction of the Messiah. The Bible says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. Watch. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Okay, and this is just one of many such prophecies in the Old Testament. And so what does Jesus do? He does all these miracles that are predicted of the Messiah, and then he turns to the disciples of John and said, now, fellas, you go back and tell John what you just saw. You saw every one of these predictions of what the Messiah was supposed to do when he comes, fulfilled in me right here today. You go back and tell him that I indeed am the Messiah. I am the coming one. He did not get it wrong. And then Jesus says the second thing, and this is very interesting. Watch this. It's found in verse 23. And blessed, Jesus said, is he who is not offended because of me. Wow. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word here that's translated offended is the word, and I'll put it up on the screen, the word scandalizo in the Greek. You say that sounds like our word scandalize. That's where we get the word. It sounds like it's related to the word scandal. That's where we get our English word. And what does it mean? Well, it has a number of meanings in the Greek language, but the meaning that applies here is to trip someone up. In other words, it means to scandalize someone, to offend someone, to upset someone, to trip them up in their faith is what Jesus is talking about. One translator says that the word here means to cause a person to begin to distrust one whom he ought to trust. Listen to that again. To cause a person to begin to distrust one whom he ought to trust, to trip him up in his faith. Now, that leads to some other translations in other versions. Of course, we read you the New King James, but listen to a couple of these other versions and how they translate this verse. The World English Bible, blessed is he who finds no occasion for stumbling in me. The Contemporary English Version, blessed is he who doesn't reject me because of what I do. The New Century Version, blessed is he who does not stumble in their faith because of me. The Passion Translation, blessed is he who never loses their faith in me no matter what happens. Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, hey, John, I know I'm not running everything the way you thought I ought to run it. I know I'm not doing everything the way you expected me to do it. I know I'm not making things happen in the exact way that you expected them and wanted them to happen. But John, listen, blessed is he and blessed are you if you don't reject me and lose your faith in me because of the way I do things. I know how to run my world, John, and I'm running my world my way. And blessed are you if it doesn't cause you to stumble and question in your faith. I love Isaiah 55, where God says that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. God is running his world his way. And his way is the right way because he knows much more about how to run his world and how to run our life than we do. And this is what he's saying to John. I would like to give you one more translation from the RSV. This is the revised Solomonic version. This is my translation. And I would translate it and say, blessed is he, John, who lets me run my business my way. Blessed is he, John, who lets me run my business my way. And they stick with me and they trust me. And they don't get shaken because I'm not running it the way they want me to run it. Blessed is the person who lets me run my business my way. And you know, John's going to need this verse in just a little while, because Herod is going to decide to cut his head off in just a little while. And I'm sure as they took him to the log where he put his head down, and as they got out the axe, and as they raised the axe up, and as they got ready to drop it down and cut his head off, I'm sure he was saying to himself as he was lying there, kneeling there, blessed is he who lets me run my business my way. Blessed is he who doesn't shake in his faith because I'm running my business my way. Blessed is he. Listen, the great old country preacher Vance Havner used to call this the forgotten beatitude. You remember the beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are, you remember all them? Well, here, Jesus gives another beatitude. Blessed is he who does not shake in his faith. Blessed is he who does not stumble. And no matter what I do and how I do it, blessed is he who lets me run my business my way. Now, that's our passage for today, but we want to stop now and we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. How sweet it is. Yes, ma'am. And so you say, Lon, I understand, you know, but I don't, how does this, please help me apply this to my life. Oh, how much I would love to do that, my friends, and to my life. Look, every one of us has our expectations about how God should run our life. Yes, when we come to Christ, we have our expectations. We all do. You say, I don't understand. What do you mean? Well, we expect God to give us good health all of our days. We expect God to prosper our careers. We expect God to find us a mate and to give us children and then to protect and let nothing bad happen to our children. We expect God to help our car run for 200,000 miles and never break down. We expect God to never have one of our appliances break. We expect God to have things go smoothly for us in every area of our life. Now, would you notice something? We all have them, let's be honest. But would you notice none of these things include anything bad happening to us? They're all about good things happening to us. But the Bible's clear. Sometimes bad things have to happen to us in order for us to grow. That trials and temptations and God's discipline, if necessary, help us to grow deeper in our walk with Christ and deeper in our faith and more mature and seasoned in our walk with God. And it can't all just be like that. You know, I told you last week my water heater was broken. Guess what? They said they fixed it and it's broken again a week later. This is that, and so I go to God and I'm like, Lord, this is not how you're supposed to treat me. Well, that's an expectation that God is not doing the way I expected him to. And you've got those too, just like I do. Now, John the Baptist had them too. And John the Baptist, it shook his faith when Jesus didn't do it the way he expected. And sometimes it shakes our faith when God doesn't do it the way we expect. And what Jesus is telling us is, hey, I really am the Messiah. I really am God in the flesh. Your faith is not a hoax, and it is not misplaced. But you know what? I'm running the universe my way, because my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours. And blessed are you if you let me run the world my way. Now that brings hope to my life. You say, really? How? Well, friends, if God's got a plan that he's running the world by, and then he's got a plan for how he's running my life. And I love Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. God has a plan. Psalm 139 says that all of our days were written in his book before there was a one of them. He has the plan for every moment of every day of our entire life worked out before we were even conceived. Now, listen to that. Listen to that. And his ways are above our ways, and his plans are above our plans. So his plan is better than our plan. He's got it all planned out. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. There's our word. How does this give me a hope? It gives me a hope because it means Almighty God has planned my life in a way that it's for good. That something bad may happen, but ultimately it's for good. Everything ultimately is in his plan is for good. That's what Romans 8:28 says, that God works all things together for good. Philippians 1, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it and continue it and complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. This is the promise of God. And God says, I want you to take hope in that. Yeah, I want you to take hope in knowing I'm running the show and I got it all under control. And there's nothing going to happen to you that I haven't already planned in. There's nothing going to happen to you that I haven't already taken stock of and flip-flopped it in my plan for you into good. It may be a bad thing, but I have already flip-flopped it into good in my ultimate plan for your life. And how many times have you heard people look back and say, this horrible thing happened, and yet it turned out to be one of the best things ever happened to me. Why? Because if you're a believer, that's the way God's got your life planned. I remember Moish Rosen, very good friend of mine, the founder of Jews for Jesus, my buddy, Moish. I remember, you know, he, in the earlier years of his career, worked for American Board of Missions to the Jews, Chosen People Ministries now. And he got fired in the early 70s from American Board of Missions to the Jews. There was some intrigue. I don't know all the detail. There was some backstabbing of some kind and whatever. Long story short, he got fired. And he was out in San Francisco at the time, and so all of a sudden he wasn't with ABMJ anymore, but he gathered a few hippies around him that had come to Christ, and he started going out on the campus of San Francisco State and into Haight-Ashbury and handing out tracts about Jesus, and it was just him and a few, you know, very young 20-year-old hippies that had come to Christ. And they were on the campus of San Francisco State one day, and somebody walked by and in a derogatory way said, oh, look at that. There are those Jews for Jesus again. And Moise said, oh my gosh, that's a wonderful name. And that's how the name came. It wasn't even Moise's idea. It came from people who were criticizing him. And Jews for Jesus, now a worldwide Jewish mission that I've had the privilege of being on their board now for over 30 years, who they're going to be thousands of Jewish people in heaven and Gentiles because of the ministry of this organization. Tens of thousands of Jewish people Moyes one time said to me, you know, Lon, getting fired by the American Board of Missions to the Jews was the best thing ever happened to me. Now, that's the promise of God being fulfilled. A bad thing gets flip-flopped into a blessing. God loves to turn ashes into beauty, Isaiah 61. He loves to take all things and turn them into good. And that's why the fact that he has this kind of plan for our life, Jeremiah 29:11, should give us hope. I don't care how bad it is what you're facing or what I'm facing. There's always hope because God says, I'm not going to let it stay bad. I'm going to turn it into blessing. That's his promise to his children in Christ. Remember, God didn't say everything is good. He just said everything will work out. The good, the bad, and the ugly for good. And I have hope because of that promise. Now, you know, years ago, I read an article in Decision Magazine, Billy Graham's magazine. Franklin Graham now runs the ministry of Billy Graham. And it was an article that I never forgot. It was years ago I read this, but it so impacted me that I still remember that article to this day. It was about a missionary named Calvin Katter, K-A-T-T-E-R. He was a missionary in Africa, and he was flying from one side of Africa to the other side of Africa to participate in a missions conference. He was a well-known missionary in Africa at the time. And he was on this little airplane, and they were putting along. He said every single seat was filled. And the airplane landed partway across Africa on this little dirt runway. And there was some confusion outside the plane, he said. And all of a sudden, they came on and they said, would Mr. Calvin Katter raise his hand, please? So he put his hand up. And the pilot came back to him and said, sir, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to ask you to get off the airplane. And he said, I don't understand. And the pilot said, well, there's a woman out there who's had her ticket for a week. And we don't have record of your ticket being bought until today. So we're going to give your seat to her. And he said, no, I bought my ticket weeks ago. And they checked and said, well, we don't have any record of that, sir. We're sorry. And so they put him off the plane and they put the woman on. And he said, when's another plane coming? And they said, I don't know, a few days, whatever. And they started up and they went down the runway with dust everywhere and took off and left him standing there, he said. In fact, he said, I was in, quote, an irritable and a disgusted frame of mind. End quote. I can relate to that. And he said he was standing there in his irritable and disgusted frame of mind when a woman that he'd never seen before came up to him and said, excuse me. She said, I know this is going to sound strange, but is your name Katter, Calvin Katter? And he said, yes, it is. And she said, oh. She said, my husband and I know who you are. We know about your missionary work. And she said, I don't know what you're doing here, but if you don't have any plans for tonight, would you have dinner with us? And he said, nah, I really don't have any plans for tonight. So they had dinner. And while they were at dinner, this couple started telling him, living in the heart of Africa, that they loved the Lord and they wanted to go out and evangelize around them. And they had a big tent that someone had given them that they could set up to hold evangelistic meetings in Africa, in the heart of the country, but they didn't have a truck to transport it. Well, it just so happened that Calvin Katter had a truck, that it was in the town he was going to hold his missionary meetings, and he didn't have anything to do with the truck, so he was going to sell it. Instead, as he sat there, he said, okay, and he gave them that truck. And when he wrote this article years later, he said that as far as he knew, that couple was still using the tent they already had and the truck that he gave them to reach people for Christ in the middle of Africa. And he closed the article with this quote. I want to put it on the screen. I know it by heart. He said, I was kicked off a plane in the middle of nowhere only to find out that it was exactly where God wanted me to be. I was kicked off a plane in the middle of nowhere only to find out that it was exactly where God wanted me to be. Hey, is that not Jeremiah 29:11? Is that not Romans 8:28? Is that not the plan of God, that he was so far ahead of Calvin Cater it wasn't even funny, and how he took Calvin Cater's misfortune and turned it into blessing? Not just for Calvin Cater and these missionaries, but for all the people that came to Christ. Friends, listen to me. My dear friends, this is what God did for Joseph. He was thrown into jail. And 13 years he spent in jail, his entire 20s he spent in jail. But God had a plan for him, for good and not for evil, to give him a future and a hope. He came out and became the prime minister of Egypt and was able to save his family in the famine. This is exactly what happened with Esther. Her parents died. She came to live with Uncle Mordecai. Things looked terrible, but God had a plan. He was way ahead of her, and she ends up being the queen of Persia and saving her people. This is how it was with Ruth. Her husband died. Naomi, her mother-in-law's husband, died. They came back to Bethlehem. They were so poor. They were living with grain they picked up off the ground. But Boaz saw her, married her. She became the great-great-grandmother of King David and the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had a plan, and it was for good, to give her a hope. This is how it was with the Apostle Paul. He was planning to go to Rome. Don't you remember? He said that in his letter. I plan to come to you. But then he got arrested and spent 2 years in jail. But that's okay. They shipped him to Rome to stand before the emperor and share the gospel, to share the gospel with the whole Praetorian guard, the emperor's guard. He got to Rome, but he didn't get to Rome the way he expected. He got to Rome the way God's plan had worked it out, and it was better. He said in Philippians 1, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have worked out to the furtherance of the gospel. The way God planned it was better than the way I planned it. And now, my friends, let's turn to you and me and say this, that God's plan for you and God's plan for me is already worked out from eternity past, and it's better than your plan for you, and it's better than my plan for me. It's better than our expectations. It's better than the way we want God to work it out, and that we've planned out in our mind for God to work it out. Why? Because his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His plan is above our plan. So friend, blessed is he or she who does not stumble over Jesus doing things his way. Blessed is he or she who lets God run his business, meaning our lives and everything else, his way. Blessed is the person who will give God permission in their life to do it the way God wants to do it, and not to question or whine or impugn God for that, but just to say, Lord Jesus, however you've chosen to do it, fine with me, because I know something. I know all things are going to work together for good, so I've got hope no matter how you do it. I know you've got a plan for me for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. So, Lord, I'm good. I'm good, Lord. Do it your way, and just give me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the faith and the trust to stick with you. And I'll always be glad that I did. Hope. And it comes from the promises of God. It comes from the promises of God. I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. A plan for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a what? Say it. What? A hope. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want us to take just a moment for you to ask God to forgive you. And I'm going to ask him to forgive me for the many times that we impugn him, accuse him, get angry with him, doubt him, because he's not doing the things that we want him to do the way we want him to do it, because he's not meeting our expectations, the times we question him. Lord, this is crazy that we would question you, but we do. We all do it, folks, because we're human. But let's take a moment and ask God to forgive us, and let's give him permission today to run every single part of our life the way he wants to run it, according to his plan. And we will submit, and we will be loyal, and we will trust him, and we will follow. Let's take a moment and do that. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, please, for the way I've wrestled with you over this crazy hot water heater, asking you, what, Lord, why would you do this? And why? And I don't understand. And what's it? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I know you got a plan. I don't know what it is, but help me to trust you, Lord, and not to doubt you. And help all of us do that, Lord. Give us the hope that the Bible gives us, that you are in total charge of our lives. You are in total charge of this universe. You are the sovereign God of our lives and of this universe. And that means every part of this universe is acting exactly the way you have planned it. And so too with our lives. And Lord, may that bring hope to us, even when things go wrong. May we be able to say with Psalm 55, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Why are you cast down within me, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Thanks, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us from your word. Thanks for the hope that comes from knowing that your plan is perfect. And help us to live in light of that every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. The Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We will see you next week on Live with Lon. God bless.